That's on, right? All right, that sounds better. It is so good to be with you this morning. It's always a great opportunity for us to spend a little time with Melinda and Arpoka. We have been friends for a long time, and we have a lot of memories and a lot of time shared together, a lot of hours on the phone or riding in the car. Remember specifically one trip that he and I made back from Colorado. And we had another young youth minister, several years younger than he and I, riding in the car. And we had, I guess, about 4.5 hours of just deep, deep biblical discussion. And it's just amazing where our conversations take us. It may go from deer hunting to exegesis. And you just never know. And that's why I enjoy our time together so much. He's right. Melinda and I have known each other for years. Our families were close for years. Her grandmother actually gave me my first big birthday party I ever had. And as we were young, you know, we were more like brother and sister in some ways. And I think people began to wonder why we were always together. And we finally just started telling people we were cousins because it was the simplest way to explain it, you know, and without so many questions. But I do love them dearly. I believe this congregation is blessed by their presence. I love their children dearly as my own, and it's great to have an opportunity to share with them. I'm going to start this morning in Mark chapter 10, if you want to turn there. Mark chapter 10. You know, our world is filled with unexpected events, is it not? Our lives are filled with unexpected events. I knew at a certain point in my life that I was going to be in youth ministry and thought in ministry full-time for years. I'm still in ministry full-time, it seems, but I don't get paid for it. I actually get paid to be a tax man, and unfortunately, and every once in a while, people will make comments to me about my line of work, and I tell them, you know, it doesn't matter. Nobody has to like the tax man. As long as I go home and my wife still likes me, the rest of the world can hate me. It's all right. You know, but I know I have a few people that are really close to me. They don't care what I do for a living. But the world is unexpected, is it not? We have a lot of things that happen. Let's see if I can get this to work right. Here's an event that some of you will remember. You will remember the day it happened, where you were at, and what you were doing. For those of you who are a little bit younger, this is the next one. Do you remember this event? Remember what happened? Remember seeing it on television, don't you? What about this one? It's hard for us to forget those kinds of events, isn't it? Images that live in our minds probably forever, because they seem to be such great tragedy, sometimes great events, not necessarily the resurrection of the wall, but the falling. Very unexpected, wasn't it? Very unexpected. And what about this event? Unexpected. Things occur that we don't always understand. Just a couple of quick comments on the side. This picture is an unpublished picture. You will never see this picture again. This one and this one were taken actually by myself and a friend of mine. I spent 11 days at Ground Zero. Very unexpected event in my life. As at that time I had a certification that allowed me to work with people who have to deal with tragedies. And it is an event in my life that I cannot let go of. I cannot say that it was good. I can't say that it was bad. But it was a great opportunity to be able to be there to help people. Now, this is quite an unexpected event, isn't it? How would you like to come home and walk into your house and find that bear asleep in your kitchen floor? It's pretty unexpected, isn't it? Now, we get into a few slides here that they speak for themselves. That's pretty interesting, isn't it? That might be pretty unexpected. An ice bobsled hitting a swimming pool. How about that? Now, I know Arpoka is a pretty good hunter, but this has got to be much more like me right there. You know? Pretty unexpected event. This is the kind of hunting I do. How about this one? Can you see what's in the mirror here? There's a large airliner coming down behind him. I think I would hit the gas. Now, this is a real sign, believe it or not. And if you've never been around a moose in any situation, they are big, much bigger than you would think. And but that's a real sign. But it was still unexpected for me. How about this one? Now, I'm not sure why he was thinking when he put that on there, but whatever is fixing to happen to that car is probably also quite unexpected for this owner. And I'm wondering how long that rope's going to hold all that weight. How about that one? That's kind of unexpected, isn't it? I guess somebody didn't really like whoever was with her at the time or whatever. You know the world. They see things in strange ways. How about this one? Very unexpected, isn't it? But people do unexpected things, do they not? I thought that was pretty unexpected. That picture says 1,000 words without anything, doesn't it? I'm sure that one time or another we've all felt kind of like that. How about this one? Now, there's a reason why I don't ride wooden roller coasters, but this just affirmed that I want to make sure I'm never on one. Of course, that's an unrealistic picture, obviously. How about this one? That doesn't look like any fun, doesn't it? Be coming down in that volcano? Absolutely not. I don't want to do that. All right, that brings us to our scripture this morning. Expect the unexpected. You know, and I think our class this morning says a lot about that also. As we look through the brotherhood, we need to be ready to be on our guard and expect the unexpected. Because even the most intelligent men can take a turn down the wrong road. Right? Now, I work with a little country church, and I'm used to people nodding. This means yes, and this means no, if you don't want to say amen or that's right. We have some members, too, that were converted from the Pentecostal church, and let me tell you, they're talkers. So I get talked back to all the way through service. And so I expect that myself sometimes. Expect the unexpected. Mark chapter 10. Actually, I'm going to come back to that. I look through things. There's points I want to jump to first. John chapter 6, verse 15. We're going to sum up with what my outline has first. Jesus was a man who brought unexpected events, was he not? We mentioned this morning the cleansing of the temple. There was a comment made about the instruments, the people with instruments in the temple at the time. I would think if they had any sense, they probably ran also. That's just a sidebar. John chapter 6, verses 5 through 13. Here we find Jesus as he feeds the 5,000, right? Let's starting in verse 5. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming towards him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" And he asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 8 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon, Peter's brother, spoke up, "Here's a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will they go among so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down. They have plenty of grass in that place." And the men sat down, and about 5,000 of them. And Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed those who were seated as much as they wanted. And he did the same with the fish. And when they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that were left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. I want to take just a second here. I want to leave some prayer again. I have something else that I need to mention, and I have a note at the beginning of my outline here. Talking about expecting the unexpected, and this is a commercial, and I apologize, but it's important to us as a people. And it ties right back into some of the things that I heard taught in class this morning also. We are sold a bill of goods by people who seem to have the facts in place. Okay? One of those bills of goods are in our high school and junior high books right now, taught to be truth, and that is the theory of evolution. There is no evidence that evolution has ever occurred anywhere. Okay? There is no evidence. Creation is the truth. And there is more evidence to be found in nature to support our faith as Christians in creation than anything else. There is a young man, and he's never asked me to do anything like this. He wouldn't, but I'm going to give this to you. There's a young man named Kim Wall, K-I-M Wall. He's a great young man who attends services in Choctaw, Oklahoma. And if you have a pen and you're interested in some of this, you need to write this web address down. It is literalgenesis.net. Literalgenesis.net. He has done so much study and research in this field that he now does tours in the Natural History Museum on the OU campus in Norman. If you've been there, you know what I'm talking about. Beautiful exhibits, dinosaurs and things like that. That when they figured out what he was doing, that he is a creationist, they started sending the professors and the director of the museum to meet this young man and try to convince him, after he did the tours for the young children, just how mistaken he is. Every one of them, one man turned and finally left, so frustrated because everything he tried to lay before Kim, Kim could refute with fact. Now that's amazing. Three other men came to him. They shook his hand and left after about 20 minutes because they knew he knew too much. Finally, the director of the museum was sent to him. He shook his hand and he said, "When I have..." Now understand, this is a college professor with a doctor's degree who is supposed to be the leading professor at Oklahoma University, looked at him and said, "When I have more facts, I'll come back looking for you." Darwin himself said that at this point in our history, there should be thousands of artifacts to prove evolutionary steps. And yet we do not have one. Brethren, we're being sold a bill of goods on facts that are not there. Evolution has never existed, does not exist, and it stands against God's Word. And yet it's easier for us not to follow the facts, not to find the proof and say, "Oh, I believe God created it all, but evolution was used in there." And that's just not a fact. So that's something we need to look at. Okay? Now, sidebar, commercial over, and see, I've already wasted a lot of my time, so let's have a prayer and then we'll move on. God and Father, I thank you so much for your love. Father, help us to expect the unexpected. Help us to look into your Word and realize that you have things and blessings and even persecutions waiting on us. Father, you are so good to us. Your blessings are more than we can understand. Father, help us to open our eyes, to be able to see with your eyes, to open our ears and hear with your ears, to open our hearts and fill with your heart. Father, we thank you for your love and your direction, your wisdom and your Word. Father, just lift us up. Help us to glorify your name and allow victories to come through us to glorify you, not because we are your instrument, Father, but because your hand is at work. God, you are so good to us. We pray that you'll open our hearts and minds this morning as we study from your Word. Help us to believe what we know to be true. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, now I'm going to have to kind of alter my lesson a little bit here and there. So for time's sake, I know y'all are always already wondering what's back there to eat in the fellowship hall, right? John chapter 6, I'm going to move quickly. So are you ready? John chapter 6, 5-13, Jesus feeds the 5,000. And we look at the events that occurred there. The disciples themselves were surprised, and they found that in that event, unexpected things occurred. They didn't expect Jesus to be able to take that small amount of food and feed so many. And even at the end, not just what he did, but what he left over as evidence of his power in the lives of those he was touching. And I'm sure that his disciples were in awe and in shock at what Jesus was able to do. And we find that through so many things that He did. In Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 33, as Jesus is walking on the water, and the men in the boat there, His disciples, become afraid. Because it was unexpected. It meant so little to Jesus' abilities and powers to be able to do so, but it was an unexpected event in their lives. And the things that we need to know and understand from this is, first of all, we need to be prepared to watch the Lord bless our lives and the lives of those who are around us. We need to open our eyes to what He's doing, because it's strengthening and encouraging to us as His children. We need to be prepared for some of our brethren to look at what Jesus is doing and be a little bit scared. Because I tell you what, before I studied the concepts and the biblical teaching of instruments and the voice, it scared me. And I didn't want to hear about it. And I didn't want to study it. And I'm so glad that you have somebody like Chris who's ready to delve into those kind of things. Because they shouldn't scare us. Because Jesus' power and ability to make a difference in this world as a Savior is far beyond what we limit Him to often. You'll find one of my favorite phrases is, "Lord, help us to believe what we know to be true." Because often that's our problems. We know what the truth is, but when it comes to really getting down in life and believing what we know to be the truth, we have a problem with that. We struggle on the inside. Do we not? Now this means yes and this means no, remember? Yes, we do. Do we not? And Jesus is going to scare some people when they see what He is able to do in people's lives. In Matthew chapter 8, verses 28 through 34, we find the story of Legion. Right? I wish we had time this morning to go through all this. Please write these down or take them off the board so that you'll have them to take a look at later. Let me get ahead. Now, I'm not real technological, so you have to forgive me if I get a little behind with my slides. But we look as Jesus came and He healed Legion, and Legion sitting at His feet, and the pigs have been lost, and the people from the city come out and they see Legion and they're scared. And they ask Him to leave. And I'm telling you right now, people will look around and they're going to see what Jesus can do in people's lives, and it's going to scare them. Because they can't imagine that a Savior can make that much difference. Because they don't know Him. John chapter 11, verses 1 through 45, the raising of Lazarus. Shortest verse in the Bible, right? One of the two. Jesus wept. Oh, there's a sermon in those two words. Man, I hate to just pass it by. Jesus took the time to hurt for those that He loved. And I'm telling you, I look around in life, and not only is Jesus able to accomplish more in people's lives than we realize to bring about the unexpected changes, but He's able to restore people who are living in death to life. And I look around, and sometimes it hurts me to look at us as a people. Because I wonder, where are the drug addicts and where are the alcoholics and where are the people who have lived their lives as prostitutes? And our problem is they don't look like us, they don't act like us, and we're uncomfortable with them, and it's hard for us to reach out to them. And you know why? Because we don't believe in what we know is the truth. Because we're not sure that our Savior has the power to change those lives. And I'm telling you right now, He does. He has the power and the ability to change people's lives, to bring them back to a life that they deserve because of Jesus Christ's sacrifice. Not because of them, but because of Jesus' sacrifice. God forbid the day when we believe that we deserve what we have as Christians, because, brethren, we don't. But it's all right, because Jesus said, I've come that my joy might be made complete within you. And we walk around sometimes with frowns on our faces and think, oh, poor God, you know. And we want to talk about them and how bad their lives are. And Jesus would say, wake up! Why do you think I gave you this lessons about me feeding the 5,000 and walking on the water and raising Lazarus and making a difference in Legion's life? Because I'm telling you, with you, I can make a difference in other people's lives. You can bring about the unexpected. But it's so easy to just say it, isn't it? It's so easy to just say it. John chapter 20, verses 11 through 18. How do you like that? That was quite unexpected, wasn't it? Jesus says He reveals Himself to Mary. And I tell you what, this story is near and dear to my heart, brethren, because I feel like Mary sometimes. I feel like that some places in my life I get so far behind, and that Satan has been able to discourage me to the point that I long for the moment when Jesus can come to me and remind me, Keith, I am alive. I'm alive. I didn't die on the cross. I wasn't buried and stayed there. And once again, we look around because, you know what? We're comfortable with the things that are expected, are we not? We're comfortable with not dealing with people like the gentleman we heard from this morning in class, because it's just a little uncomfortable to deal with those kinds of deep issues, isn't it? I'm sorry I'm making a sound nightmare for you, I can tell by moving. But when we live life, unexpected events occur. And unexpected events occur within the church. And we have to be ready to deal with those and allow God to direct us and guide us with His Word. Because He's given us everything we need for life and godliness. Now, we're going to be there in a few minutes. But He has given us everything we need for life and godliness. And sometimes we don't believe what we know to be true. Luke chapter 24, 10 through 34, Jesus reveals Himself on the journey to Emmaus. Man, what a story of hope. And I could say so much about the world overtaking us, and I'm not going to do that. Just make note of that as we move on. Malachi chapter 3, verses 9 through 10. Now I'm going to start stepping on water lightly, because I guarantee you somebody in this congregation is not going to understand what I'm saying, and they're going to take it and twist it. And I apologize for being kind of that negative, but people don't always listen the way they should. Malachi chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. You're under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. Now, brother, I owe you for the segue for this morning. Let me tell you why. You know, one of the things that we've missed track from in the church is that as people try to tie us into some Old Testament concepts, that God has given us a worship that is greater, that is deeper than what those who lived under the old law had. And so we leave the items, the physical items of the old worship under the old covenant behind, for something that Jesus longed to give to us as a people that is greater than those physical items. As we worship Him in spirit and truth, and we look at this as the school teacher, right, from the Old Testament, and He says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. And we say, well, we don't tithe. We just give whatever we've purposed in our heart. And I'm telling you right now that God's given us the opportunity to do more. To do more. and to bless us more, as we're going to continue to look at some of these verses, but it's the only thing that the Lord God Almighty has said, test me and try me in this, and see if I won't open the floodgates of heaven. And I'm wondering how often that I've let the plate pass by thinking, $10 is all I can afford. And I wonder if my God isn't disappointed because He's looking for an opportunity to bless me. Oh, Keith, don't you not understand? I had my floodgates ready to be opened into your life and you didn't believe what you knew to be true. Now let's move into some New Testament verses that teach us the same thing. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. Most of you are very aware of what's there in Matthew chapter 6, are you not? As Jesus preaches to the people. Let me tell you, one of the things I see in His sermon here, Jesus preached those things that not only we needed, that we still need today, but the things that were heavy on His heart. He's trying to teach us how to be a richer people, both spiritually and physically. And we look around sometimes, and I want you to understand, I'm not preaching a lesson of wealth. I'm not. But we spend our lives... Don't let me get ahead of the word here. Go with me, Matthew chapter 6, and let's jump down to verse 25. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. I'm behind here, aren't I? Brethren, I want you to understand, the first time I gave this lesson, boy, I was pounded. Because I had said, you're teaching wealth. You're teaching these people that they can be rich, that God's going to... And brethren, I want you to understand that the physical things of this world mean nothing to the Lord. They're just the things that He needs to supply us with to live day to day. But we spend our lives worrying about, okay, I've got to make the house payment, and I've got to make the car payment, and I've got to make sure that I can feed my kids this week. And I've been there. I've done that. I've wondered how. I've looked at my budget, and I've looked at the extra bills that have come in for medical reasons or whatever, and I'm wondering, Lord, I don't want to pull out a credit card and go buy groceries. Have you been there? I can remember when Janine and I first got married. Well, I tell you what, you know, thank God for macaroni and cheese. I don't do beans very well. So macaroni and cheese and hot dogs. Thank God. But you know what? He supplied my needs. Our problem is sometimes we start to divide our needs along with our wants and call them both the same. But He tells us, seek first My kingdom. And don't worry about how can you add a single hour to your life by worrying. And we're wondering how we're going to make it. You know what? If I lose my house tomorrow, does it matter? Does it matter to the kingdom? If for some reason I love my boss, have a great relationship with him, but he's got a temper. And in the past, he's fired a couple of people just because of his temper, because I made mistakes. I'm not beyond mistakes. Are any of you beyond mistakes? Do you have a boss like that? Some of you may. And if he comes in and fires you tomorrow, does it matter? Because God has promised us, I'm going to supply your needs. But we get so just covered in our worry, thinking, how am I going to supply? How am I going to supply? How am I going to supply? And the Lord says, forget it. I'll put a roof over your head and I'll give you a bed to lay in at night, and put the things that are important first. Did you know, I met a gentleman years ago, multi-millionaire, who was a member of the church, and I'll never forget one of the things he said. He said, there is in the United States an IRS tax law that most of us are not familiar with. And you know why? And I thought, why? Because we don't give. There is a tax law in the United States that says if you give 90% of your income to nonprofit organizations for 10 years, then the remaining 10% is non-taxable, tax-free. Did you know that? This gentleman knew that because as a multi-millionaire, he had for several years given 90% of his income to the church. Supported 13 missionaries on his own, all by himself. And allowed some other men to oversee that work so people wouldn't speak about him. God forgive us for always winding up in those situations often. But we don't know that because sometimes I struggle with that just like you do. I struggle with the ideal of how much I should give and what should I do. Because it is hard for me to believe what I know to be true. Matthew chapter 7, 7 through 12. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks the door will be open. Which of you, if his son asks for bread... Now see, we love to talk about those first verses, and many of us don't even know what comes after. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? And if then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. Let's move ahead, because I'm just about out of time. Luke 6:38, given it will be given to you, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured into your lap, for with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. 2 Peter 1, 1 through 4. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness, through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these He has given us His very great and precious promises. Hold on to that right there. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. All right, let me camp there for just a minute and the lesson will be yours. Brethren, understand this. Satan is at work in this world. We see evidence of it all around. God has prepared for us blessings to pour into our lives for us to receive. The only thing that keeps us from receiving those is the heart that's on the inside. Because we get wrapped up in the world and we don't seek first His kingdom. Because we get wrapped up in the world to the point that we're not sure how to participate in His divine nature. And I wonder, because I look at we as a people and how poor we are in God's Word. And how many of our young people, if asked this morning, can you quote me 20 different Bible verses, how many of them could do that? And I wonder what's going on in their lives. But brethren, make no mistake. I'm not preaching to you this morning to give you a negative concept when you leave this building. I want you to understand God's promises are something that we need to learn to believe in. God has said that those physical needs that we worry about day in and day out, they mean nothing when it comes to the concerns of the kingdom. And if we'll put first His kingdom, He will supply all of our needs. whatever those needs may be. And it may be even a need that you don't understand that you have. Maybe it is time for you to lose a job. Have you ever thought about that? Maybe it's time for you to lose a job and to be someplace where you can be challenged to grow in your Savior. Whew. Well, now that scares us, doesn't it? And God says, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Because if you'll seek first my kingdom, all of these things will be added into your life. And we get so focused on the physical that we lose the vision for the spiritual things in life. And as we come together as a family this morning, you know one of the greatest things about corporate worship is that we're here together as a family. And I'll tell you this right now, our polka means more to me than some of my brothers that I grew up with because they have lost their Savior. And I guarantee you right now that if I was truly, truly in need, I have four brothers. But our polka is on the top of my list of some people to call before some of my blood brothers I grew up with. Another misconception. Blood is thicker than water. And now I'm stepping on toes and I like it. Blood is not thicker than water unless it is the blood of Jesus Christ. Because as a family, we raise up and we share our love together and we fulfill each other's needs. And then when we do that as a family, the world looks around and says, what's wrong with those people out there? They're kind of unexpected. You know what? Do you know what they're doing? That boy's house burned down and they showed up with trucks full of blankets and clothes and they were handing him cash. Man, them people, they've got a problem. And down deep inside he's thinking, I want to be a part of that. I want to be a part of that kind of fellowship who lifts each other up and reminds each other that Jesus Christ has given His life to bless us. Now, He also promises us that there may be some persecution with some of those. I lied to you a while ago. I apologize. Back to Mark chapter 10, and the lesson is yours. Okay? This is a story of the rich young man. So much to be said here. Verse 20, start with me there. Teacher, he declared, all these I have kept since I was a boy. And Jesus looked at him. Don't forget this right here, the way Mark writes this. Please do not forget this. Jesus looked at him and loved him. Oh, Chris, man, there's a lesson there, isn't there? Man, there is. One thing you lack, he said, go and sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. And at this, the man's face fell, and he went away and said, sad because he had great wealth. And Jesus looked around and said to the disciples, how hard is it for the rich to enter the kingdom of God? The disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus said again, children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, who then can be saved? Jesus looked at them and said, with man this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God. And Peter said to him, we have left everything to follow. I love Peter. Jesus! We've left everything to follow you. Have you ever felt like that? Well, I got caught in that trap for a while. God, I've given up everything to follow you. I tell you the truth, Jesus replied. No one has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. The New American Standard uses the same words. In this present age, homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, fields, and with them persecutions, with them persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first. And brethren, I want you to understand, Satan does his best to get us wrapped up in the worldly things. You know? Even so, to the point, isn't it funny, that when I gave my coat this morning to my wife to wrap up because she was cold over here, I wondered whether I should say something about a real preacher having a coat or not. Man, the little things just get in the way, do they not? They get in the way. And Jesus says, brethren, my children, stop worrying about them. They mean nothing when it comes to the kingdom of God. And He has given us the opportunity to partake in His divine promises, in His divine nature and His promises. And He says, I have a life waiting for you that's beyond your understanding. His incomparable riches are waiting for us to take part in. Isn't God good? God is so good to us all the time that when we face persecution, sometimes we lose focus, do we not? I want you to understand that God said that He'll supply our needs. Persecutions are coming. You're going to struggle, but don't worry about it, because I will fulfill your needs. And brethren, that's what we need for life, isn't it? As we run around trying to deal with this world and all of its struggles, there's one thing, my last slide, the one thing that we have to remember. An unexpected event has changed this world for you and I. Thank God that His Son rose from the grave, and that we can be united with Him in the likeness of that death, burial, and resurrection to walk in what? Newness. In a new life. To begin and leave those things behind that Satan loves to wrap us up in and say, here's the life that I wanted for you. It's a life full of love and security and riches. And the riches of this earth mean nothing to the spiritual blessings that I have for you. And we thank God for that. So this morning I just want to ask you this question. Have you gotten so wrapped up in the concerns and the worries of this life that you've forgotten what the Lord has waiting for you? He will supply your needs. He will give you all you need for life and godliness. Brethren, it's time for you to start believing what you know to be true. If we can pray with you this morning to help you set your life right, help you to begin to understand in a better way some of God's riches, I'm sure that one of the elders, or Chris or Opoka, would love to sit down with you and just share with you. Or if we can help you unite your life in Christ to begin a new life, one full of His blessings, won't you come as we stand and sing?